Hello everyone, welcome to the Shir in Maseches Megillah. We're holding the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Mirtz Hashem, we're still on pace to finish by Purim. So let's continue what we're talking about. We had brought an interesting case, interesting halacha, there was a story really about Rav, who had taken the Kohen Aliyah, we assumed, even though he was not a Kohen. Shmuel, we saw, was a Kohen. Rav was apparently, though, the Gavur Rabbah, he was the biggest Torah person in his area, and he took that first Aliyah, and instead of Yisrael, that we normally have. And the Gemara was trying to figure out how many Aliyahs there were on the Tanna Sefer from this story. In the end, it couldn't figure out, because if he took the Kohen Aliyah, we had no proof about how many more Aliyahs there were. Seder. So let's go back a few lines to try to get the story straight, because we were in the middle of it. So I'm going to go back to where the story begins, which is a good 6-7 lines up from the bottom. And it says like this: Tashma, the Rav equal a Bavel b'Tanna Sefer. Rav found his way to Bavel, ended up in Bavel during a Tanna Sefer, right? Kam kara b'Sifra, he got up and he took an Aliyah. We don't know which one at this point. He read in the Sefer Torah. Pasach barich, he opened it. He made a bracha. Chasim, and he finished reading. Flo barich, he didn't make an after bracha. As we learned before, that was the way it happened, at least in the beginning of the Takana, that only the first person that had the Aliyah made a bracha, and the last person had the last Aliyah made the after bracha. Another fact is related in the story. Is unrelated to this story, to this our point that we're trying to bring up about how many Aliyahs in the time of Sibor. But another thing that happened there is that everyone else did Tachanun, fell on their faces, and Rav did not. Rav lo nafal ape. Now we say it like this. That's the story. Mikti. Let's see. Rav the Yisrael Kar. We assume at this point of the story that Rav took the third Aliyah. My time, Chosam Labarich, why didn't he make the after bracha? Isn't it because someone else would need to read after him, a fourth person? And thereby we think we have a proof that on a Tanna Sefer there are four Aliyahs. Say back low. Rav, the Gehani Kar. Rav, we're saying right now, Chiddush, that Rav got the first Aliyah. The Ha Rav Huna Kari the Gehani. Because we'll bring sensible proof, so to speak, that Rav, it makes sense that he would have gotten the Kohen Aliyah because of someone else that did. Rav Huna got the Kohen Aliyah. He was not a Kohen. Shomer Rav Huna Kari B'Kahani. Gemara says back, no, that makes sense. Rav Huna would get the Kohen Aliyah. The Ha'afila Rav Amir Rav Asi D'Kahani Chashivi D'Ar Yisrael Nikif Kaifule. Because we happen to know that Rav Amir and Rav Asi, who were Chashiva, very important, dignified Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, they would subjugate themselves to Rav Huna. Yeah? Nikif Kaifule the Rav Huna. In some way, they would show him covered. So it makes sense that Rav Huna would got that. El Rav Ha'ikashmu. How can you say Rav, you assume, yeah, got the Kohen Aliyah? Shmuel also existed in Bavel alongside Rav. And Shmuel, we think at this point, the Kahana Hava, well, no, at this point he was a Kohen, right? And I guess we don't think, we don't think that Rav was Mechabed him. We say even the Kahana Hava, Shmuel was a Kohen, V'daberlo. And Shmuel apparently was in a leadership position over Rav. So it couldn't be that Rav got the Kohen Aliyah, we say. So say back, no. Shmuel nami mikaf havakayfle the Rav. Shmuel actually was at a lower status, in whatever way that means, to Rav. He held Rav in a higher esteem. The Rav would avali kavod. Rav would give him kavod anyhow. Yeah. V'chi avilei b'fanav, but only when he was around him. Shelo b'fanav lo avilei, and not around him, which the story is not around Shmuel. Shmuel was in Narda. Rav was not in Narda. It's different, right? Narda is not exactly in Bavel. It seems to be outside of Bavel, according to the Rashi over here. Yeah. So, and Rav was in Bavel in this story. So he didn't give him covered, not in front of him, only when he was in front of him. Rashi brings an interesting story that led to this whole thing of Rav giving Shmuel covered. Apparently, Rav cursed Shmuel at one point. They should not have children. And as a consequence of that, whenever he saw him, I guess as a expression of regret over that, or maybe it somehow weakened the curse, he would always give him covered. Seder. So that's what Gemara says. Now, you have no proof anyway about the four Aliyahs or three Aliyahs that happened on Tanna Sefer. You have no proof one way or the other, because this story, Rav got the Kohen Aliyah anyway. Gemara says back, Achinam Mistarba. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Throughout the Kahani Kra, that Rav got the first Aliyah. The Yisrael Gedaitich, the Yisrael Kara, if you think he had the third Aliyah, the Yisrael Aliyah, Lefanel my time of Barich. Yeah, why would he have made that Bracha first? Right? Because again, as I said to you, the Takana, the way it was set up initially by Ezra and Moshe Benu, was that the first person made the opening bracha and the last person made the closing bracha. If we see Rav is making the opening bracha, must be he got the first Aliyah, the Kohen Aliyah. To say back, no, la'achar takana. Maybe it was after the change. The Gemara brought that takana later on to not embarrass a person who wouldn't be able to make brachas, was everybody made their own bracha. I'm sorry, I should correct myself. That may be part of it, but I think what the Gemara said was not that. It was a takana mibnei ha'nichnasin mibnei ha'yotzin. It was a takana if people came in late, they wouldn't realize that Birkas HaTorah needs a bracha beforehand. Therefore, every Aliyah has a bracha beforehand. If people left early, they wouldn't realize that Kriyas HaTorah has a bracha afterwards. Therefore, everybody made a bracha afterwards. So this story happened after that. That's why he made the initial bracha. Yeah, if it could be, I mean, there's no proof that from that that he got the Kohen Aliyah. Maybe he really got the Yisrael Aliyah and he made a bracha beforehand. You say, Yahachi l'achareha nami livrich. If that would be the case, then he should make the after bracha. If he really got the Yisrael Aliyah, and that's why he's making a bracha first, because it's after the Takana, well, then he should also be making a bracha after. Whether or not he's the last person in the Aliyah, the third one, or if there's another one, it would make a difference. He should be getting the, he should make a bracha afterwards. Say no shani, heichad the Yosef Rav, the Mile Eili, Mefak lo Novki, because it doesn't make sense. What is the whole reason that we said a person makes a bracha before and after? The one after is because people might leave early. But by Rav, you don't have that problem. No one's going to leave Kriyas HaTorah early if Rav just got the Aliyah. Yeah, it was a bit of a muster over here. Apparently, people did not mind the idea of leaving Kriyas HaTorah early as it was, but if a big person like Rav got the Aliyah, then they would stay. I don't know if that is to be seen as a credit to the people or a discredit, but there is a Gemara in Makos that seems to make a point that one has to give more kavod to the Talmud Chacham than the Torah itself. So I don't know exactly, but you do see from the story certainly an observable fact that people are more likely to mechabed the situation when Rav is there reading the Torah than just any old Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Toshma, we're still trying to figure out this point. Zeha klal, the Mishnah said a general rule, kol sheyesh bo bitul malach la'am kigon tainis sibor v'tisha b'av. Yeah, anything that has bitul malacha to the nation. Yeah, is Bryce there actually quoted, not our Mishnah. Anything that's bitul malacha, meaning to say if you'll keep people in shul longer, they will not get to their malacha as soon as they would like a tainis sibor v'tisha b'av. Tainis sibor v'tisha b'av has such a thing, meaning to say, because people can work those days, no isra malacha. Karin gimel, only three aliyahs, you don't keep people longer than needed. V'she'embo bitul malacha la'am, the day that does not have bitul malacha, people are not working anyway. Kigon rashi chadosh and v'chol ha'shamoid, on Rosh Chodesh and v'chol ha'moid, there's a lack of people working. Karin dalid, then you read for Shema Amina. So this price is quite clear. It says very clearly that a tainis sibor only has three aliyahs. About this nekuda of not working on Rosh Chodesh and v'chol ha'moid, so Rashi elaborates on Rosh Chodesh, women had a minug, at least at his time, to not do malacha. It's a discussion nowadays, I know, in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, whether that minug is expressed nowadays with women. It's certainly a good thing for women to make some sort of lessening of their work on Rosh Chodesh. And the Chol HaMoed, the only thing it's mutter to work for is in particular circumstances, like a Dover Avet, something that would be lost if one does not work for it that day specifically. It's something to mechazik. I'll say for myself, I'm saying this year from Eretz Yisrael, it's quite common for people not to work on Chol HaMoed. I know many people are listening from the Chutz Laaretz in America and other places. It is definitely not a simple thing for a person to just say he'll work like normal on Chol HaMoed. It's part of the Yontif. Everybody has to ask their own Shaila of what to do and what's mutter. Yeah. But anyway, that's the proof. Shema Amina. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi still has a problem with this. Faha anan lo tanan hachi. Our Mishnah is not mashma like that. The Mishnah says that kol yom sheyesh bo musaf in a yom tov karn arba. Any day that has musaf and it's not a yom tov, you read four aliyahs. Now the Mishnah there already elaborates specifically that Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh have that status. They are days where there is a musaf and it's not a yom tov and you read four aliyahs. And this klal seems to be repetitious in that. So Rav Ashi says, L'sui am I. What is this klal coming to include? It must be coming to include something else that wasn't explicitly stated. Lav l'sui tainis sibor v'tisha b'av. Shouldn't it be coming to include tainis sibor and tisha b'av, things that were not talked about the feirish in the Mishnah? It's coming to include them, that they should have four aliyahs. There are additional tefillahs, so to speak, not musaf as we call it, but Rashi already told us the previous part of the Gemara, that tainis sibor has it, and tisha b'av have extra parts that you add in Shmon Esrei. So it's called musaf. It's called musaf and tefillah, you're adding in tefillah, and it's not a yantif. Mara says back, Rav Ashi, Masis and Mani. According to Rav Ashi, that he is insisting that it must be that Tana Sibor has four aliyahs. We'll see a Mishnah now that won't match any Tana, right? Mo Tana Kama Velo Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya. Kalios B'Sheni V'Chamishi Korin Gimel. Yeah. This Bryce over here is talking about Tisha B'Av itself. Is a Gemara in Tainus that says if Tisha B'Av itself, we don't exactly do this difference nowadays that it speaks about, but if Tisha B'Av itself came out on a Monday or Thursday, you read three people a Maftar Echad, and one of those three, and the last one, is Maftar. That that we do. The Shlishi B'Raviyah, but apparently it was a difference. It used to have, if Tisha B'Av came out on Tuesday or Wednesday, Kore Echad Amafter Echad, then for some reason you only had one Aliyah. I don't know how that worked. One person read, and that person was the Mafter. I'm not a sugi right now, but it's interesting. I don't know how that worked. Rabbi Yossi over there says, Olam Korin Gimel Mafter Echad. We just seem to do like Rabbi Yossi, that you always have three Aliyahs, and this last person is the Mafter. So in any event, though, Rav Ashi doesn't work, because there's three Aliyahs here tops, on the Tanaisim on Tisha B'Av, and you have four. The El Akasha, the Akasha is the Aklal, right? So it has to be then that the Zeh Aklal in the Mishnah is Shver. What's it coming to include? Say, Lo La Surye Rosh Chodesh Moed. It's not coming to include anything extra. Rosh Chodesh Moed, HaBeHedja Katani Lo. They were already taught explicitly, Rosh Chodesh Moed, Korin Arba, on Rosh Chodesh and Kol Moed, you read four. So what is it doing? Simon Ba'alma Yoiv. Yeah, it's not giving a simon. It's not, after presents different halachas, then it goes through the general rules about them. Yeah, the lo tema yom tiv v'chol shemoy ki adadi ninu. You should not think that yom tiv v'chol shemoy are similar, i.e. the five aliyahs every day of chol shemoy. Don't think that. Ella, rather, nukut hai klala biyadich. The Mishnah's Kila is saying, take the following general rule. Kol de tafilei milsa mechavre, any day that has more of something than its friend, meaning there's a build-up in the days. Any day that is more preferred than the other day, more has more kedusha to it, at a higher level. Tafili gavri seiri, I'll have an extra aliyah. Hilkach rosh chodesh emoyed, and rosh chodesh and chol emoyed, the ikka kar musaf, those days have a musaf. Korin arba. There you have four aliyahs. Biyomtov, the asar basiyas malacha, yomtiv, when there's an isar malacha, chamisha. Then you have five. Biyom kippurim, the honors kareis, yom kippur is kareis, shisha. Number six. Shabbos, the ikka isar skila, shiva. Shabbos, believe it or not, many people don't think about Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. It's not true, maybe from a lot of sources, really, but certainly this is one of them. Shabbos is the day that is more preferred than Yom Kippur. That's why it has one more Aliyah, seven Aliyahs. That's how you know there's more Kedusha in Shabbos. Okay, so that was what the Mishnah was doing. It was setting up those rules. It was setting up so you'd understand how to figure out how many Aliyahs were each day. Each day that is preferred than the other day has another Aliyah. Gufa, we'll restate this and talk about it more. Rav Iqbal above all the tiny seaboard. We said Rav went above all on a tiny seaboard, come car the sifra, and he got up and read in a sefer, Pasach Barich, Chosam Barich, and he made bracha in the beginning of the Aliyah, but not at the end. And we said why. We have the whole explanation. Nafukul alma pinhu. Yeah, everybody fell on their faces. They all did tachnu. V'avlo nafal alape. He did not fall on his face. My time of Avlo nafal alape. Why didn't Rav do tachnu? Rispa shalvanim haisa. We say, interestingly enough, it was a stone floor. Betanya, and there's a bris that says, "Ve'evin maski slosi yitunu barzichem." There's an aveira of having a stone floor in your lands, and that really refers to what they used to do with Vodazara on. Vishtachavosalas, that's the bow on, and you know that was what Vodazara did. But we learn out a halacha from it that you're not supposed to have a stone floor. You're not supposed to bow directly on any stone floor. That's why nowadays the minhag of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when they bow on the floor, you put something between you and the floor. It's not just to keep you from getting dirty from the floor, but also because of this. If the floor has any stone in it, then you have this problem. So we say, Aleha yata mishtachave ba'artzichem, right? Avalata mishtachave alavanim shalbeis ha-migdash. We ask Akasha, I mean, this is the development of the Braisa, what does it mean in this pasuk that you can't bow on these things in your land? Meaning, that means in Beis Eretz Yisrael and not in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash also couldn't bow on a stone floor. Yeah? We say, Kidu'ula. Yeah, it must be like Ula. Damar Ula lo asr Torah al ritzba shalavanim. Yeah, the Torah asered only a stone floor. Yeah, I'm gonna change the pshat over here. That's what I thought pshat was, but I'm seeing now that I'm mistaken. That the Evan, it's not a back and forth. Yeah, the Ula thing usually is like Ula said. It, over here, it doesn't mean that. Yeah, the Amar Ula is just explaining. Yeah, I understood that's a setup of Akasha. Usually that type of setup is Akasha in a Teretz. But seemingly the whole Brisa says, yeah, I'm looking over a quote in the whole Brisa, that it means you can bow in the base of Migdash on a stone floor. Yeah, and Ula is just getting pshat, not answering Akasha, it seems. Yeah, that the prohibition over here, the Isser, is any stone floor. And based on English, even though it has a stone floor, you're allowed to bow on it there. So I'll read it again to make sure I get it clear. It says there by Rav, why didn't he fall on his face? It was a stone floor. You can't put a stone floor in your lands to bow on it. And the diuk is in your lands you can't bow on such a thing. You could bow on the stones in the base of Manish, the stone floor. As Ula said, the Torah only offered a stone floor. Yeah, it means to say that that is the issue wherever there is a stone floor. I don't know why, now this is also why I didn't think there was this pshat. I don't know why we had to bring that whole thing to tell you about the stone floor issue. I mean, we didn't learn it out here. We brought the heter. You just bring the pasuk, and then you'll know you can, and bring ula. Then have to bring the diak where it's mutter in the mesa migdash. I don't know why it brought that part of it. It was misleading to me. Ihachi my iria rav afilu kula nami. Yeah, what do you mean then? How come only Rav didn't fall on the floor? No one else can fall on the floor either. They're all the same issur. We say kamei the Rav havoy. The only part of stone that was in the place apparently was right in front of Rav. So he didn't want to bow where he was. Hi, v'leza lagabi tzibur, v'lim pol al ape. Why can't he move over to where the tzibur is standing and he'll fall on his face there? Lo boy lemitchach tzibur. He didn't want to bother the tzibur. Also, amazing point over here. That would be considered a bother, and he didn't want to do that to them. Better off to not bow, not do the tachanun. Same another answer to this question, why Rav did not bow. Rav, Pishu Yudayim V'Raglayim Hava Ovid. Rav, when he would do Tachanun, he would not only, and it's not like our days for sure, we just like sit in our seat and put our head down, he would get on the floor and he would lay his face down to the floor and spread out his hands and legs. That's the way bowing was done in the Beis Hamikdash. Ukidu Ula, Damar Ula, and like Ula said, Lo Asher Torah El Pishu Yudayim V'Raglayim Bolvad. And really say there was stone everywhere, according to this answer. And he didn't want to go down and spread out his hands because that's the only thing that's usher. Everybody else did not. Everybody else just put their head on the floor or something like that and didn't do anything that was a problem, according to Ula. Why didn't he just do what they're doing? Fall on your face without spreading out your hands and legs. He would not change his minog. He didn't want to change from his own minog. The melee, he didn't want to do what they were doing and he didn't do anything. Because if he would have done his own minog, it would be a problem because of the stone and floor. Could be another answer. Maybe you take out that there's not a stone floor according to this answer. There's no problem. But Adam Chashev is not proper that he should be bowing himself on the floor in front of everybody. And Adam Chashev is not allowed to fall on his face unless he knows that he will be answered the way Yeshua ben Nun was. This passage is not showing you that Yeshua was answered to what he davened. It is showing you that he fell on the floor. Right? The end of the pasuk reads, "Vayomer Hashem li Yeshua, kum loch, get up for yourself. Lama ze ata nofel panecha. Why are you falling on your face?" Seemingly, it didn't mean that Hashem was objecting over there to the action of falling on his face. He said, "Get up. Right? So you're done falling on your face now." So if a person, the Gemara learns out over here that if a person knows he will be answered, if he feels he will be answered like that, like Yeshua ben Nun apparently was, then he's allowed to do this. Otherwise, Adam Chashev is not allowed to fall on his face. It's not seemed as a proper thing to do. Because if you see a person, they bring a Rashi and Tainus, if you see a Chashev person falling on his face, and you see he's not answering whatever the Adam for, so then people will doubt his Koach and Tfilah. Right? So Memela, a person can't do that unless he knows he's going to be answered. Yeah. The Seder. Here's the Gemara. Tana Rabbanim. Kida, and now we're going to define different bowing terms as they appear all over. Kida al apayim. Kida means being in one's face. Shnemar v'atikot ba'sheva apayim eretz. Right? The ba'sheva bowed down to the ground. Yeah. Her face to the ground. But over there, it meant only her face. Kriya al birkayim. Kriya means one gets on their knees. V'cheinu omer makroa al birkav ishtach, makroa al birkav, bending on one's knees. On one's knees. You're on your knees. Right, that's kriya. Yishtachava zu pishu daim raglaim. We said before, yishtachava, that verb means spreading out your hands and legs. Shnemar havo navo ani v'amecha v'achecha yishtachava s'lecha artza. This is Yaakov saying to Yosef at Tzadik after his dream. He said, is it going to be that myself, your mother, and your brothers will come to bow to you on the ground? And apparently that means Rashi understands that the whole artza means you're all spread out on the ground. And that's yishtachava. Yeah. And Beseder, we're going to stop over here. We'll have more elaboration on what the different types of bowing mean next time.